Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I'm really kind of geeked out and excited about today's episode because we're going to get into some really cool history. We're going to be talking about tips for restoring a vintage Airstream Bambi with our friend Patrick Botticelli. Now, Patrick is the host of the New Jersey Outdoor Adventures channel on YouTube, which has something like 75,000 followers, and he does just really terrific walkthroughs of all types of RVs. So Patrick, currently during this kind of quarantine period, is restoring a vintage Airstream Bambi in his driveway. This is his project right now. And Patrick also kind of happens to be our neighbor. So the reason I kind of started
we're not allowed to see right now.
Well, we could drive by.
So we are, this interview, although we are close geographically, is taking a place socially distantly appropriate nature over Skype.
he lives several miles away. But what got me thinking about this was I actually took a wrong turn in his neighborhood and drove by his house. And how did I know it was his house? Well, because there was a 1961 Airstream Bambi sitting in the driveway, along with his 1997 Airstream van and his 1972 vintage restored Ford Bronco.
Yeah, he's not hard to spot when he's
bebopping. So I was like, that has to be Patrick's house, and that is the coolest driveway in America. So we're going to do two segments with Patrick. We're going to do a little bit of history of the Airstream Bambi, talk about Wally Byam, get into the birth of this very iconic RV, and then Patrick's going to talk about this project and give some tips for restoring an Airstream if you actually want to go ahead and do that. But before we dive into the great content, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And one of the ways they make it more pleasant is that if you plan on camping anywhere without sewer hookups, you just are dry camping, and you want to still take a shower, you want to still do those dishes, you want to still fill up that gray tank, you can use the Smart Tote 2 four-wheel portable waste tank, which is going to allow you to easily empty those gray tanks and then just wheel it off to the dump station, and you can start all over
again. And
what
Stephanie doesn't want to say is that some people actually use it to dump their black tank.
I will never say that.
We don't advocate for that.
I don't need to get involved in those kinds of ridiculous RV discussions.
So getting a brand new Smart Tote 2 is kind of an obvious decision to make. You just have to decide if you want the 18-gallon, the 27-gallon, or the 35-gallon model. And we always roll with the 27-gallon model. So check out this and all of Thetford's great products by heading on over to Thetford.com.
Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thank you for having me back on the show. It's been about a year, I think, when we did the show last. I was at my dealership, and we introduced the new Caravelle and Bambi lines for the 2020 model year.
Well, we're happy to have you back for an entirely different type of show. You apparently are a good person to talk to about ways to keep busy when you can't go anywhere in your Airstream.
Yeah, I'm working from home now. We had to close parts of the dealership. New Jersey mandated that. You know, we're still open to serve our customers. But now that I have a lot of free time, I have this Bambi that I purchased, and I have some time to work on it and design and think about things, it's a little peaceful.
So a little bit of look, you have to look for silver linings to stay sane. And I guess that for you, like, this is your big silver lining. Like, you can really dive into this project in a way that you couldn't pre-quarantine, right?
Yeah, I would do an hour here, 2 hours here, but always distracted. Had to run to the grocery store, go shopping, work, biking, whatever it was, got in the way. Now I have a little bit of time. I could dedicate 8 hours a day to it if I needed to.
All right. So, Patrick, tell us, like, you're that type of person that has to come across so many different options for used Airstreams. So, like, tell us why the Bambi, right? Like, what about this 1961 Bambi caught your attention, and why did you choose the Bambi to do the restoration project on?
I've been selling Airstreams since 2002, and I always admired the most iconic Airstream ever made, which is the Airstream Bambi. And it came out in 1961. Our founder, Wally Byam, he did all these caravan tours all around the world. And he had just returned from an African caravan in the late 50s and was inspired to create a smaller Airstream to be towed by cars. See, overseas, they didn't have big trucks like we do here. A lot of other countries had small cars. And, there was some talk about fuel prices going up and hard to get fuel. And a lot of more people were buying, say, like a Ford Falcon. So he designed the Airstream Bambi. Originally, in the late 50s, it was called a Pacer. So that was the first small Airstream travel trailer. And it did well. Well, in 1961, he introduced the Bambi. And a Bambi meant speed, stamina, and surefootness. Like a miniature deer, he viewed why in Southwest Africa. And they made the model 61, 62, and 63, and they're very popular, and only a few hundred were made.
That's incredible. And I was shocked to see the specs. These were really small and really light. So can you tell us just some of the basics for this, like the length, the UVW, the unloaded weight? These really could be towed behind cars safely.
And that was the point. From ball to bumper is only 16 foot. The body, the shell design, was 13. And the overall weight was 1,850 pounds. And the hitch weight, only 180 pounds. A lot of people didn't have hitch receivers back then. They were bumper hitching these trailers. So inside, everything was made extremely lightweight. So instead of thick hardwoods, they used Luon board. And there was no air conditioning. And everything was just made to make sure that it was under 2,000 pounds. So these cars could tow them.
That's like the weight of a heavy pop-up camper.
Those are pop-up campers now, exactly, yeah.
It's almost like hard to believe, but I guess it was a really, really stripped-down package. I can't wait to ask you some questions about yours and the weights and things like that, but what did the original floor plan look like inside? What did they pack into that 16 feet?
Well, there was two versions. Airstream back in the 60s had two plants. They had a California plant and a Jackson Center, Ohio plant. And both versions had a front lounge area and a side lounge on the roadside of the trailer that converted into beds. So it was made to sleep two people, but you could seat four people inside. The California version had a roadside rear corner bath, and the Ohio had a curbside rear corner bath. Both had a kitchen on the opposite rear corner, and right at the entry door is a wardrobe and a pantry. So on the outside, they look very similar, except for the vent locations, but they did have their two-on versions. And both factories sort of competed and were proud of their own designs.
I know it's probably hard to track down, but is there like a mythology, like a story about why those two competing floor plans came about?
Well, I believe the Jackson Center, Ohio version came out first, and I think it was only going to be available at that plant. And the California plant said, hey, we can make it the same thing too here. So they tweaked the design a little bit, and they thought theirs was better. I personally like the Jackson Center, Ohio one. It took me years to find this trailer, unrestored, original, two owner, because I like the front sofa, the long lounge, and the kitchen extending off of that, versus the bathroom off to the lounge. It allows for a more open floor plan, I think.
So did you see some of the California ones first, and then like you passed on them and just kept searching for the Ohio? Did that happen?
Yeah, that did happen. And what happened was a lot of them, because they're so desirable, have been fully restored. So you're looking at $35,000 to $60,000 trailers, or some that were partially restored but not correctly, and I didn't want to take on someone else's project. I wanted one that was as close to original as possible, and I wasn't looking to restore it. I was looking to renovate it. but I didn't want things cut and chopped in the wrong manner. So I was looking for something almost pristine. And the shell is the most important thing. If the exterior shell is in great condition, the frame and the basic guts of the trailer, then you have something to start with.
So let's go back to this. It was such a lightweight package. In the originals, what was some of the standard equipment that you would get with a 1961 Bambi? I mean, what was an RV equipped with at that time, in particular, an Airstream?
Well, these were pretty complete. It came with a 20-gallon freshwater tank. It came with a black tank, a 12-volt water pump. Now, it's a compressor style. Today, we use demand 12-volt pumps, so quite unique. Had a 2-cubic-foot LP refrigerator, one vent in the roof, 3-burner cooktop, gas water heater, gas furnace. Now, you had to manually light those. And had a toilet in the wet bath shower. And there was 4 big windows in this trailer and a kitchen sink. Very open floor plan. One of the unique features of the Jackson Center, Ohio version, and I missed on this when we were talking about it last, it has what they call a door within a door. So there's a screen door that opens within the entry door. So you open one door, and you still have protection and privacy, but you don't have to open the whole entire entry door. So that's quite unique, and that's quite desirable.
Now, when you look at the specs, it doesn't look radically different than a lot of modern RVs. I mean, is that because Airstream was like way ahead of its time? Because, you know, if you put those specs next to a typical travel trailer that you might purchase right now, I mean, that Airstream has a lot of the same things.
It does. And it was one of the first fully self-contained travel trailers on the market. So it was quite ahead of its time. And you got to think about Airstream going to all these other countries. There's a lot of countries they visited that they didn't even have cars yet. And this is kind of the time frame of the space era. And they would drive these Airstream travel trailers from Cape Town to Cairo. And people would think these were astronauts or aliens coming from outer space. They had no idea what was going on. And the world in North America, the Airstreams were far ahead of their time compared to other competition in regards to standard features.
Now, you keep referring to these caravans, and everybody that's listening, just so you know, a lot of them are on YouTube because they made television programs out of them. And I watched the Cape Town to Cairo. It's like
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. If I can find that link, I will put that in the show notes.
We've linked to it before, so it's got to be out there somewhere.
It's like some Airstream dealer has them all posted. And there's like one in Guatemala. I mean, they're crazy to watch. Now, on that same point, everyone that's listening that's interested here, you definitely want to go over to thervatlas.com and check out the show notes, because Patrick sent me a lot of really cool historical documents about the Bambi. And you actually sent me this historical letter from like Airstream, the overarching Airstream sales manager that they sent out to the dealers. And what you know, we were talking about this before we hit record. I mean, what was he communicating to all the Airstream dealers about this Bambi? It's kind of a funny letter.
Well, he was saying that our cost is $2,200. The suggested list is $28. You're only going to have a limited amount that you can sell. Don't give them away. Make money on them, and don't call and cry and say you want one more. That's pretty much what the letter said.
And he was like, "Don't haggle.
You're not getting
anymore." And he's like, "Don't ask for any special prices, because the price is the price is the price."
Yeah, this is it. You want one, you got it, and you're getting 3, and that's all you're going to get. So sell them and make money on them. That's how it was back then.
So was the Bambi popular? I mean, was it only just the 3 years they made it? Like, was it a big consumer hit?
It was a big hit. What happened was that people wanted more, right? So in 1964, they came out with the Bambi 2. So it came out a longer version of it with more things incorporated. And then it quickly transitioned into the Caravelle and Globetrotter series, which were larger. So they still maintained a lightweight, but they had fully functional dry baths. They had dinette tables, a lot of things that the Bambi just couldn't fit in there. So even though it was very popular, it then inspired a whole new line of trailers in the small, compact, and lightweight.
Now, this would be a great place. I will link to your episode from a year ago in the show notes, because you actually picked up right at that point and kind of walked through that history of the Bambi and the Caravelle. So if you find this episode interesting, look in the show notes and you can go back and listen to that other episode with Patrick. Now, we're going to come back and talk about his specific Bambi renovation project, which I'm really excited to hear about. And I might like drive by his house and stalk him and just like roll down the window and look, even though I can't come close and say hello. So before we do that, though, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
All right. So some of you would prefer something that is ready to camp in as opposed to something that has to be renovated from 1961. And if that's the case, Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968. Offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes, it's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading two-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Yeah, Jayco's over 50 years old from 1968, and we're talking about RVs from 1961. So, I mean, when you talk about a rich history, Airstream really does have one. So, Patrick, like, tell us about buying this. Like, where did you find it? How much did you pay for it? And remind us how long it took to find. I want to hear the story.
So I was looking. I've had other vintage Airstreams before, and I had many Airstreams over the years, but I was always looking for a 1961. I kind of gave up for a while. And I set an eBay on my cell phone, a little alert, if 1961 Airstream Bambi came up. And one day I was in my other Airstream down in LBI biking for the day. And I got back when I was done to clean up, and I saw an alert that a 61 Bambi was for sale in Florida. And I said, you know what? Basic description, basic photographs, nothing crazy. On a whim, I did a bid. And I should know. I should have did a little bit more research. But 2 days later, I won it. No one else bid. And I was like, oh, man, what did I just do? I bought this trailer I really wanted, but maybe not this one. So I sent the money down there. I sent the transporter down to pick it up. It wound up costing me about $18,000. Now, I know that seems like a lot of money when you compare it to a brand new 2020 small trailer of this size you could get for about the same amount of money. But these things bring big money. And to find one that is almost original, it's hard to get one in that price range. So I felt I got a good enough deal.
Well, I'd also like to point out, it's important to note for our listeners, because I think that sometimes this is glossed over a little bit. You have restoration chops. So like, a lot of people get themselves buried in these projects because they spend the money thinking they're going to restore a vintage trailer, and it really turns out to be a much bigger project than they expect. You knew what to expect, so it's not going to be sunk money on your end.
It's not, and you really have to be educated on what you're buying before you spend the money, because there are 1970s Airstreams. They're a little bit more readily available, larger, that you could get as a barn find for $3,000 to $5,000, and you could put another $20,000 into it and have a really good trailer for $25,000. But it's hard to get your money back out of those because those are not the most desirable years for collectors. The Bambis, you know, fully restored, they could bring $35,000 to $60,000 easily. So as an investment, you know, as long as you buy it, and my purchase all in is $18,000, but I'm gonna put another $18,000 into it to make it presentable, safe, and usable. And I'll be into it for a reasonable amount of money where if I did want to sell it, I could maybe not lose anything.
And possibly, I mean, like, you could possibly profit off it. I mean, it doesn't sound like you're dying to sell this, or that's not necessarily the point of this project. But it seems like you know the pricing well enough that you're trying to put in an amount of money where then you will have an Airstream that is worth at least that amount of money. Is that your thinking?
That's my thinking, and I would never want to sell it. You know, I would look forever, but eventually everything is for sale. So you have to be mindful of what you're going to get for it when it's time to sell it. Life changes, right? Things change in life. People's interests change. So you got to be prepared for that.
Could you at least just call us first? I mean, we might be at a stage in life
a stage in life. If you're traveling on your own, that would be your stage.
I just have like one more question about this whole process of getting this it sounds like something I would do, frankly, like buying something off eBay for this, you know, good chunk of money. Were you like a nervous wreck waiting for this thing to be delivered, just like wondering truly what shape it was in? And were you pleased when you got it, or was it a big problem?
When it came in, I was very busy at the dealership, and I think it sat out there for about 4 days before I turned the key and opened the door. And at first, I was like, man, what a big mistake, because it smelled inside. The floor was all buckled, like the sub, not the subfloor, but the flooring on top. And they painted, it just looked better in the pictures. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to sell this thing and take a loss and move on with life. And then I had some time to actually sit in it one day, and I was looking around, like, this thing is just so cool. And I fell in love with it. And I was like, all right, I did the right thing. Now let me make a plan on what I want to do with it. Do I want to restore it to be exactly the way it was when it was new? Or do I want to make it more usable for me if I do want to go camping in it, or at least have guests inside of it, using it as like an Airbnb or a rental or whatever I want to do with it? I had to think of a plan on how I was going to use it in the future. So I came up with a long plan. I have lots of drawings and sketches. And I finally have time to start turning the wrench and screwdriver and the saws and making things.
So what's the scope of the project? Or what, you know, I mean, without being able to show everybody the drawing plans.
Well, he did give us some good pictures.
And that we will can be put in the show notes. Just tell everybody kind of what your general vision for the project is.
So I have to update the electrical because it was old two-wire electrical. There was no converter. It had a tractor-style battery in it. So I got a new Boondocker converter, multi-stage battery converter. I got two AGM 12-volt 24 series batteries. I have a Truma Combi Eco Plus. So that's going to be my heating and my water heater. Because of the space limitations in here and the fact that I couldn't use the old water heater and furnace because they're dangerous, that was the best fit for inside here. And I'm doing new furniture and cushions. So I'm making sure it's safe, functional, and I want to be comfortable. If I'm going to sleep in this thing, I want really good cushions, and I want to do it right.
The Truma Combi is awesome. I mean, that's like really efficient, really quiet.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it just – and it is clearly one of the favorite modifications that I ever did was the AquaGo. So, and I know that Steph and James love their combi in their Winnebago from the FitRV.
You're adding some weight with those AGM batteries. Those aren't light. I mean, but
I took the original freshwater tank. It was a galvanized steel tank. That thing weighed about 100 pounds. Now I got a rotocast plastic tank that weighs about 10 pounds. So there's my,
there's one of the batteries. Gosh, that's amazing. Just chuck that old tank? I mean, that could like be in an Airstream museum. I want to see that tank.
It wasn't good. It was all rusted on the inside. I scrapped it at the dealership. But with the way they did it back then, they would actually have an air compressor, 12-volt air compressor, that pressurized the water tank itself. And the neck had a seal on it. And you could either use a 12-volt compressor pump to pressurize the whole entire water system, including the tank, or you could get a hand pump outside, just like on a bicycle, and pressurize your water system. So that's why it needed such a heavy-gauge steel tank.
Do you have moments – I mean, you are you know Airstream incredibly well. Like you said, you've been selling Airstreams for a long time. Do you have moments when you're in this Bambi and you see a connection between the past and present of Airstream, where you see something that they still do, or a place where the lineage was passed on? Or does it really feel like it's like a time machine that's very disconnected from the current Airstreams?
It does. The way the entry door is, the way the interior shells all put together and the components, it reminds me a lot about new Airstreams. But let me tell you, these things were purposely made light back then. The newer trailers, this size is about 3,500 pounds. Now, why did it get so heavy? For one, it has air conditioning. For two, it has 3/4-inch plywood cabins with laminate, you know, very high-quality materials, and they weigh a lot more, but they hold up a lot better. I was surprised when I started taking this thing apart how simple and how light everything was made. And a lot of us associate that with poor quality, but it's real good quality. 1961, it's still here. But they needed to make it light, so they had to change it from their larger Airstreams, like the Overlander and the Sovereigns they had back then.
You know, it's so funny that I think that that's an interesting thing that you could see even more recently in the RV industry. When there was that first burst of sort of larger, lightweight travel trailers, you know, 10 years ago, and everything was like curtains inside, right? There were no doors. And like there was very much this standard features that went along with these bigger bunkhouse, lightweight travel trailers. And then seven, 8 years later, when we have our, you know, lightweight Eagle travel trailer, everything is so much heavier, even in the lightweight category.
And it's
category.
Not that light anymore. You
no,
know,
it's like, not. Like, I feel like even the lightweight category in
it's
the
getting
last
heavier.
Is getting, has gotten a
yeah,
lot
I think
heavier.
That's true.
Because people are in those lightweight travel trailers that were like super, like, they were a little bit flimsy.
And
like,
but trucks get more capable. So it's like,
yeah.
I think you're exactly right. Yeah. The lightweight trailers get heavier as trucks get better.
And the buyer's expectations change over years. So now buyers have a much higher level expectation of quality. So the manufacturers kind of have to add that weight back in.
Now, the new Airstreams don't cost $2,700, right, from what I hear?
No. A new, say, if you go with a traditional travel trailer, that would be our Bambi. They have an MSRP starting in the 50s, and they go up from there.
So what tips would you give somebody that might want to undertake a project like this? I mean, what are some things people should think about and things that people should know before diving in?
Well, first of all, you have to know what you want to do with it. I mean, are you going to just go away for a weekend where you get away with doing more simple design? Are you going to go full time? Because now your expectation level is really through the roof of the features and amenities you're going to need. Or are you going to park it permanently and use it as an Airbnb? So once you know what you're going to do with it, then you could come up with your design. And you have to design it and be mindful of balance, front to back weight, hitch weight, tongue weight, axle weight. But you also have to pick the right trailer. And that's really key. You want to make sure your shell's in good shape, the frame structure, and the axles. And if it doesn't have good axles, this one, these are the original axles. These are going. I'm ordering new Dexter axles. You don't want to do all this work and put all this money into it and have your frame crack or your axle break, because now you could total your trailer.
And get hurt. I mean, that's just dangerous.
Yeah. There's good resources, too. I mean, there's Facebook groups for Airstream owners and Airstream addicts. And vintage Airstreams, there's forums online. So you can really educate yourself before you jump in. You don't want to buy the wrong version of the Airstream if you're going to use it for something in a different purpose.
Yeah, I just want to underline, you know, your point about safety. Because like when we went and we got, I purchased a 20-year-old pop-up camper. We drove that thing directly to a trailer supply place that's near us. And we had them
check the axles.
We had them inspect the axles. Like for us, we've been around RVs too long and seen too many people not pay attention to the safety aspect of RVs. And that to us was, it's like, whatever happens with this, we need to check out the bones before we get like fancy with putting up new curtains and everything. So I just want to encourage everybody to take that level of inspection seriously.
All right. So where do you get your parts? I mean, are you Frankensteining this thing from all different resources all across the internet? Or do you have some primary places where you would go to get Airstream parts if you're even using Airstream parts?
I had some parts left over from the Airstream B190 renovation, but a lot of the parts I got from my dealership, Colonial Airstream, but there were things that we couldn't get. So I did source some online sites for the freshwater tank and the Truma. And the cushions I actually got directly from Airstream, they're out of a brand new 2019 Airstream Nest trailer, and they fit exactly in here. It was amazing. I was blown away that I was able to just buy current cushions, and they fit the contours perfectly.
They look gorgeous. You got people listening to the podcast, you got to go to the show notes, thervatlas.com. Like, that's really going to make the interior pop. I mean, it looks beautiful, and it really fits the space perfectly. Like, that's quite a score for you.
I'm only like 20% through, so if you look at the pictures, don't think that it's the finished product yet.
Yeah, but you'll be done in 2 weeks at this point. I have one or two more questions for Patrick, but before we get to wrap up the show here, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing.
All right. So normally we know a lot of you. This is the time of year where you'd be chomping at the bit to show up at your dealership and get your full and complete walkthrough and leave with your brand new RV. This is like one of the busiest times of year for that. We know that some of you can't do that right now. So last week we really recommended that one of the things that you can do is you can take this time to really research like the picking up process at your dealership, the walkthrough, what you should get out of it, really make sure you have all of your towing materials that you need, all that stuff. This week, we wanted to suggest that you also start thinking about maybe stocking your RV, okay? Not that we're encouraging anyone to dive down the bunny hole of online shopping when we're bored at home and have nothing to do.
But it could be a fun project to get the RV ready to go for when it is time to go.
Exactly. If you did get to pick up your RV, this is the perfect time to spend time in it figuring out how to stock it. I highly recommend that you don't just go online and buy a bunch of stuff. Spend time in your camper. Even if it's in your driveway, hang out in there. Try to make a meal in there. See where you want to put your towel, where your shoes are going to store, right? And then find those trouble spots and say, well, this isn't going to work, right? I need a hook here or I need a shelf here. And this is just such a great time to take advantage of what a lot of us don't get to often enough, which is like personalizing and modifying RV to fit our particular needs. And it's a fun project. Over at the RV Atlas Facebook group, somebody posted, hey, everybody, like, do little walkthroughs of your RV and show us videos. People have been posting them and showing us all their little unique, fun things that they've done. So, you know, Go RVing has a lot of resources for stocking your RV over at GoRVing.com. And they want you to have the best RVing experience once we can finally get out there on the open road. Find your way, go RVing.
And maybe Patrick will pop into the RV Atlas group and go live and show everybody the inside of the Bambi if he's got a little time.
He's got time on his hands.
So how do you...
That's what I love doing, the RV tours.
And you do a great job. So, and everyone's going to want to remember to check out the New Jersey Outdoor Adventures channel on YouTube. How do you envision using this, Bambi? You kind of said it, but I mean, are you going to rent it? Are you going to take it out yourself? Are you going to sell it? I mean, what's the plan once this thing is done?
I know I'm going to go camping in it once. And then from there, it's going to inspire me to use it more. But I have another camper van, so it's kind of redundant. Maybe I want to bring some friends and they would sleep in the trailer. I'll tow it behind the B190. But I think my primary tow vehicle, I have a 2018 Tacoma Pro that I towed at home with. And that is a great tow vehicle for this. But I could see maybe cruising around town in the Bronco with the little Bambi. I think that would be a pretty good match. But I'm definitely going to be storing it at the dealership for our customers to view and enjoy.
Oh, cool.
When I'm not using it.
Oh, that's such a great idea. I love that. So once the Bambi's done, and this is my last question for you, what will the prized possession be in that amazing driveway? Will it be the Ford Bronco from 1972? Will it be the 1961 Bambi, or will it be the 1997 camper van? Like, which one is absolutely essential for you?
I don't know which one's the biggest head turner. Every one of the vehicles I have right now are big conversation pieces. And for someone that is sort of a loner and I kind of keep to myself, it's a hard thing to get used to. But I would say the biggest head turner when people drive by will be this Bambi. Definitely.
And if you're towing it with Bambi, the Bronco, I want to see that, man.
I think I'm going to blow people's minds if I put the two together, but
I can't wait to see
them. I hope it'll blow up the Bronco.
Oh, right. The tow capacity of the Bronco, right? Well,
it's right there.
At least you could set it up for show.
Yeah, that's a good photo op. So you could probably rent that out for some nice wedding photos and whatnot if you ever need a little extra chunk of change.
Well, Patrick, right. Thank you so much. Tell everybody where else we can find you and people that want to follow your adventures, where they should go to do so.
Well, you know, we have the New Jersey Outdoor Adventures YouTube channel, and it's mostly van life videos and RV tours. So that's kind of something I do as a hobby for fun. Instagram, you could find me on PBox. And on Facebook, Colonial Patrick and New Jersey Outdoor Adventures. So you could find me there as well.
Sounds great. And we really hope to have you back on at some point soon. We won't wait a year next time. We'll get you back on and maybe talk about the Airstream camper van, because there's a whole show in that too as well.
I want to do a van life show with you and introduce van life to some of your audience. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Let's do it. And you have to meet, well, we have our friend on the West Coast,
Lauren Eber. Yes.
And she's a fam with a van on Instagram. And she has done a couple van life episodes, and people really do like them.
Patrick, she upfitted a van. So she bought it and then took it from the Mercedes dealer, and she took it to an upfitter and customized it for her family of four. So she's a fun follow on Instagram at fam with a van. Check her out.
Patrick,
check her out. I'll definitely check her out.
And we hope to see you soon at the campground.
See you at the campground, Patrick.
Yes. All right, I'll see you soon. Thanks for having me on.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.